Is it really a new dawn at the Sun? A day after Rupert Murdoch launched his Sunday paper, he's assailed on two fronts. The police reveal they're investigating a culture of illegal payments at the Sun, said to have been authorised at a senior level. It's claimed...
One of the arrested journalists has, over several years, received over £150,000 in cash to pay his sources, a number of whom were public officials.
And Charlotte Church, hacked by the News of the World, accepts £600,000 and an apology, but doubts if they mean it.
What I have discovered has sickened and disgusted me. It seems they have learnt nothing. In my opinion, they are not truly sorry, only sorry they got caught.
Peter Hunt will have PM's comprehensive coverage from the Leveson Inquiry, and we'll hear Charlotte Church's statement in full and her interview with our legal correspondent Clive Coleman. With the BBC News throughout the hour, Diana Speed.
The Leveson Inquiry into Press Standards has heard there was a culture of illegal payments at the Sun newspaper, which were authorised high up. The Deputy Assistant Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police, Sue Akers, said the payments were made to public officials, including police. In a statement, Rupert Murdoch has said the practices described are ones of the past and no longer exist at the Sun. From the Inquiry, Jane Peel.
Deputy Assistant Commissioner Sue Akers said there was a culture of illegal payments at the Sun and systems had been created to facilitate them. She said the payments to a network of public officials had been authorised at a senior level. One individual, she said, had received more than £80,000 over several years. The former Deputy Prime Minister, Lord Prescott, told the inquiry that the relationship between senior politicians and the Murdoch press was too close. It was not exactly corruption, he said, but leaders of all parties wanted access to editors who had influence and power.
The singer Charlotte Church and her parents have accepted £600,000 in damages and costs from the publishers of the News of the World. They've admitted hacking into her phone when she was a teenager. Our legal correspondent, Clive Coleman, was at the High Court.
Charlotte Church brought her privacy action against News International, together with her mother Maria and her father James. They've settled for £600,000, £300,000 in costs and £300,000 in damages. Using unlawfully obtained private information, stories about Charlotte Church started running in 2002, when she was just 16. She and her parents were harassed by those working for the News of the World and put under surveillance. Despite News International's apology in court, Charlotte Church said that she didn't believe they were truly sorry, only sorry that they got caught.
5 past 5. We last heard from Peter Hunt at the Leveson Inquiry at the end of the session on February the 9th.
This part of the inquiry about the relationship between the press and the public has now come to an end. Lord Justice Leveson will be back on the 27th of February to look at the relationship between the press and the police.
Well, since then, the relationship between police and press has seldom been out of the news. 2 days after Lord Justice Leveson started his break, the police were arresting 5 employees at the Sun over alleged corrupt payments to police and public servants. Something Trevor Kavanagh at the Sun described as a witch hunt. 2 days after that, Rupert Murdoch publicly declared his commitment to publishing The Sun, and within a week he announced the paper would publish 7 days a week. With its first Sunday edition selling 3.25 million copies yesterday, it might have seemed like the new dawn News International has been yearning for. But today it came under attack on two fronts. Charlotte Church lambasted the company in one of the strongest public statements made against it. And no sooner had Lord Justice Leveson returned to work today than he heard accounts which, if true, cast a dark shadow over the Sun. Peter Hunt, good evening.
Good evening. The senior police officer insisted it wasn't her intention to threaten the existence of the Sun. But the evidence of Deputy Assistant Commissioner Sue Akers has, as you say, Eddie, cast a shadow over a tabloid celebrating the launch of its Sunday edition. Sue Akers is in charge of the investigation into police corruption and the corrupt payments to other public officials. She has 61 officers working on this inquiry. 22 people have been arrested so far, including 10 current and former senior members of staff at The Sun. DAC Akers said police inquiries pointed to payments being made to a network of corrupted officials, as she put it, in all areas of public life, including the prison service, the military, the NHS and the government.
There also appears to have been a culture at The Sun of illegal payments, and systems have been created to facilitate those payments whilst hiding the identity of the officials receiving the money. The emails indicate that payments to sources were openly referred to within the Sun, and in which case the source is not named, but rather the category public official is identified rather than the name.
Yes, and in paragraph 17, you set out material which indicates that the journalists involved were well aware that what they were doing was unlawful according to the criminal law. Is that right?
Yes, and that's really by reference to comments being made in staff risking losing their pension or their job, the need for care and the need for cash payments.
Much of the evidence the police are working on comes from the News Corporation's Management and Standards Committee, which Sue Akers insisted is independent of News International. When they uncover emails which suggest possible criminality, they pass them on to Scotland Yard. Its barrister, Neil Garnham, took issue with the idea they had behaved like the Stasi and had launched an unwarranted attack on the freedom of the press. "We are not talking," he said, "about a journalist buying a copper, a pie and a pint," a view which was echoed by Deputy Assistant Commissioner Sue Akers.
These are cases in which arrests have been made involving the delivery of regular, frequent and sometimes significant sums of money to small numbers of public officials by journalists. Some of the initial emails reveal, upon analysis, that multiple payments have been made to individuals amounting to thousands of pounds. In one case, over a period of several years, this amounts to in excess of £80,000. There's also mention of, in some emails, of public officials being placed on retainers, and this is also a line of inquiry that we're exploring. One of the arrested journalists, for example, has over several years received over £150,000 in cash to pay his sources, a number of whom were public officials, not all, but a number.
The court heard that the stories generated by these contacts were, in the words of the police, salacious gossip and salacious tittle-tattle, and the activity had been authorised at the highest level at the Sun. In a statement this afternoon, Rupert Murdoch said the practices described at Leveson this morning were ones of the past and no longer existed at the Sun. This part of the inquiry, Eddie, is looking at whether the relationship between the police and the media, and News International in particular, was at best too close, and if not actually corrupt, very close to it, and whether the nature of the relationship explains how phone hacking at the News of the World was first investigated in 2006. The inquiry heard about an internal News of the World email written in September 2006, which showed that a police officer had told Rebecca Brooks, also once known as Rebecca Wade, the then Sun editor, about the police investigation and about how there were 100 to 110 victims and that the tabloid's private investigator, Glenn Mulcair, had been paid more than £1 million by the Sunday newspaper. The barrister, Robert Jay, read out the email in court.
"They're going to contact RW, we think that must be Rebecca Wade, today, to see if she wishes to take it further. And so I should make it clear that information appears to have been given by someone within, I quote, the cops to Rebecca Wade in September 2006. The inquiry is not concerned to investigate who that person might be, although there's been speculation about it in the press as recently as Saturday. What is of interest to the inquiry, because it directly bears on your terms in reference, is the fact that information appears to have been given to Rebecca Wade from within the police."
Other witnesses today included two people who believe they were victims of the way the police first dealt with those who had been targeted by Glenn Mulcair. Brian Paddock, a former deputy assistant commissioner at the Metropolitan Police, expressed his concern that Mulcair's computer contained details about people in the police witness protection scheme, including the killers of the young boy, Jamie Bulger. In his witness statement, Mr. Paddock suggested a police officer must have leaked this to the jailed private investigator. When it was his turn to give evidence, Lord Prescott expressed his frustration at the length of time it took the Met to acknowledge that messages he had left on the phone of his assistant had been targeted 44 times. "I'm beginning to feel," the former Deputy Prime Minister told the court, "that they're just hiding things."
So, I mean, when you hear these things going on, you just believe it's not straight talking.
Well, I'm sure you've heard the phrase cock-up and conspiracy before.
You sound more charitable than me, Mr.
No, I've not reached a conclusion as to
which. No, I know that,
Prescott. I merely identified the
two. Yeah, I'm just saying, well, I don't go to cock up. He's a highly paid, highly intelligent people. I think there's more a conspiracy of silence to hide the facts. And frankly, I'm stronger of that view in the last few months.
And Lord Prescott there obviously talking, Eddie, to Lord Justice Leveson. Now, earlier on today, the barrister for the Met, Neil Garnham, promised Lord Justice Leveson that the police's policy was one of complete openness. He accepted there had been significant errors in the way that victims had been dealt with, but he argued that the decision not to widen the original police investigation in 2006 was a reasonable one when viewed in the context of the serious terrorist threat facing Britain at the time. Phone hacking, he said, was not a matter of life and limb. And 6 years ago, he said, the police were investigating what he called 72 live terrorist plots.
Peter Hunt reporting. Charlotte Church made a point of being present at the High Court in London today to hear a statement read in court resolving her claim that 33 articles in the News of the World were the product of journalists illegally hacking into her family's voicemails. The court heard Miss Church's phone was hacked in 2002, and journalists also placed her under surveillance and gained access to medical records. The settlement involves £600,000, that's including legal costs, and an apology. But in a statement outside court, which we're now going to broadcast to you in full, Charlotte Church doubted whether the apology was sincere.
I brought this legal claim with my parents, as many others have done, because we wanted to find out the truth about what this newspaper group has done in the pursuit of stories about our family. What I have discovered as the litigation has gone on has sickened and disgusted me. Nothing was deemed off limits by those who pursued me and my family just to make money for a multinational news corporation. Of course, I was a teenager at the time, and my parents were not in the public eye. They just happened to have a well-known daughter. Whatever I have had to go through, they have suffered as well. They have been harassed, put under surveillance, and my mother was bullied into revealing her own private medical condition for no other reason than they were my parents. Someone in a newspaper thought that was okay. How can that be in any right-thinking society? I wanted to bring the individuals responsible to court and make them explain why they did this to me and my family. I am sure that this is exactly what has driven a number of people to bring legal claims against the same organisation. Today marks the settlement of my claim and the day News International admitted their wrongdoing in court. I'm obviously happy with the result in one sense, especially as I have finally discovered in the last week or so much more about what lengths these people were prepared to go to in order to publish stories about myself, my friends and my family. However, I have also discovered that despite the apology which the newspaper has just given in court, these people were prepared to go to any lengths to prevent me exposing their behaviour, not just in the deliberate destruction of documents over a number of years, but also by trying to make this investigation into the industrial scale of their illegal activity into an interrogation of my mother's medical condition, forcing her to relive the enormous personal distress they caused her back in 2005. It seems they have learnt nothing. And I would have learnt nothing more from an actual trial, since it was clear that no one from News International was prepared to take the stand to explain their actions. In my opinion, they are not truly sorry, only sorry they got caught. For these reasons, having achieved all I was going to achieve through this process, I am now focusing my energies instead on assisting both the criminal investigation and Lord Justice Leveson's inquiry, as well as others who are seeking to bring to justice those responsible for this appalling behaviour. I would like to thank my legal team for all their efforts on our behalf. I would also like to make it clear that we were never in this for the money. Money could never mend the damage that was done. I intend to dedicate my portion of the settlement to protecting myself and my children from further invasions of our privacy.
The statement Charlotte Church gave to everyone at the end of her legal battle with News International. In a moment, you'll hear the interview she gave only to our legal correspondent, Clive Coleman. First, the headlines from Diana.
Scotland Yard says there's evidence that the Sun newspaper had a culture of making illegal payments to a network of corrupt officials in all areas of public life, including the police. The officer leading the investigation told the Leveson inquiry that one official was paid more than £80,000 over several years. The Deputy Prime Minister, Nick Clegg, is supporting calls for further changes to the government's plans for the NHS in England.
First, we heard from Charlotte Church a moment ago making her statement, talking about the effect phone hacking had on her family and her relationship with them. Afterwards, she spoke exclusively to our legal correspondent, Clive Coleman.
Well, you question everyone. I mean, it was really confusing time because I was quite young. I didn't really know what was going on. I was in a weird situation anyway because I was kind of a child star and I was growing up and I was just feeling my feet as a person. I was literally in the papers every day, every single day for years. I was really targeted. And so you just become very confused about how all of this information is getting out. I literally looked at every single member of my family, at all of my friends. I questioned quite a few of them. And I've tried to go around as many people as I can to say sorry, just to say I'm sorry that I ever doubted you.
Now, your civil claim was brought by yourself, by your mother and your father. Mm-hmm. Your mother in particular, described in the statement in open court as being a vulnerable person, mm-hmm. was targeted. Just tell me what effect that had.
It had a really bad effect on her at the time. They were going through a difficult phase in their lives, and people, you know, a lot of people go through that kind of situation if there has been an extramarital affair, etc. A lot of people deal with that. But to have to deal with it in the way that they did, for it to be made so massively public, is a totally different thing. There is so much public humiliation in that, and she was ashamed and she was embarrassed, and it was basically, unless you do a story for us about this and this, this and this being the most personal things you could ever ask somebody to expose, then we're going to print the second part of the kiss and tell, so it's up to you, basically. And she was in absolute bits.
Just explain why it was so important to get as much information from using that through the process of bringing your civil claim.
It was important to me because obviously throughout this process, and the more we've heard from Judge Voss and the more documents he's disclosed, it's quite obvious that they have been trying to cover this up as much as possible. And I wasn't happy with that. One of the things that pushes my buttons above all other things is injustice, and I just couldn't bear it. And so I wanted to take it as far as I possibly could, in order to force out more information, for myself to get as much information, as much evidence as possible. I think it's really very important to know quite the depths of which this goes, not just in the civil trials, but of course also at the Leveson inquiry.
And to people who say, look, you know, you live in the public eye, you know, you die by the public eye, you know, you need it, you feed it yourself, and you can't really turn around and complain when it bites you a bit.
Well, I don't think that is in any way true at all. I don't feed it. I never have done. I did do a few photo shoots with my previous partner, but that was because I was trying a different approach, because the approach that I had worked on before then, which was that everybody was my enemy in the press, mostly, you know, the photographers, the journalists who would kind of follow me about. So I just tried a different approach. And also, I think what you have to keep in mind is that when I signed my record deal, I signed a record deal because I was a singer and that's what I wanted to do. I was never interested in fame. I wanted to sing. You know, I was aware that I was signing a record contract, not a deal with the press that, you know, I could be exposed and intimidated and used to sell their papers in the most horrendous ways, cynical ways. When I was, you know, 12 to 14, it fitted the tabloid's narrative for me to be an angel. And it was kind of a fairy tale thing in my eyes. And then when I started growing up, I don't think I did anything wrong. I think I just grew up. I did the stuff that almost everybody else has done. That was so juicy to them that they could totally turn the fairy tale on its head and almost make an example of me then throughout my teenage years.
Charlotte Church talking to our legal correspondent, Clive Coleman.